This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
With me. And I also get hundreds of emails a day. And one thing that's really interesting to me is you begin talking about the book and you end up talking about yourself and your own story. And so people say, I loved Wild and here's why. And there's some strand that resonates with them. Now, sometimes it's all of the strands. It's grief, or it's the love of the outdoors, or it's having to go on a journey in your youth to find yourself, or it's having a marriage that ended young, or a father who was abusive, or a mother who died, any of those things that people connect with in the book, or love of backpacking. And they tell me what piece of it resonates with them. And when I first started to get these emails, I've received several emails and met several people who say, we've had the same life. We've lived a parallel life. And what I've found is really, I think that we all think that we're more unique than we are. Of course, we all live our lives as individuals and originally, but we have so much in common. There are really so many things that connect us. And this has been driven home again and again here in the U.S. But what's happening now is Wild is coming out all over the world. And it's really interesting. I met this woman, for example, last week from Korea. She came to one of my readings. I was reading in North Dakota. And she said, I just came from Korea and I read your book in Korean. And I related to this and this and this. And she related to all the same things that Americans relate to. And I've had this experience with the Italians, with the Dutch, with any number of people from various cultures. And that tells me something. That tells me that in writing my story, I really was writing the universal story of what it means to be human.
Well, I think you were. I mean, you totally have been. And I think that's what makes telling your personal story the most relatable to people.
Well, and I think what I did is I really wanted to tell the true story of that time in my life. And I decided to focus on the hike, not because, I took the greatest hike that's ever been taken. The point of Wild is not that I did this amazing thing that no one else can do. I think a lot of us go on long journeys of one sort or another. And I really wanted to tell the true story of what I did with my profound grief over my mother's death when she was 45, of how I came to grips with my sexuality and my sort of my sense of myself as a young woman who had not had great role models, in my father for certain, but really in other kind of relationships, and also just that rite of passage that we all go through when we're trying to figure out our path in our 20s. And I think that's something people in all age groups can relate to.
Well, I'm also stunned by the vivid details, because it's hard sometimes to even remember things from yesterday,
Yeah.
So how did you recall every single moment of this amazing adventure, this amazing life journey?
Well, I think one of the things that people forget when they read a book, really what's happened is the writer has gone on a deep journey of remembering, of trying to access those experiences and those things that, in regular life we forget. The thing I can best compare it to is you're going to your, 20-year high school reunion and you're thinking, I don't remember anything. I'm going to forget everyone's name. Who even remembers what happened way back there? And then you go and suddenly those memories are reopened. You start a conversation. Somebody says, well, remember when we did this or that? And you're saying, yes, now I do remember. And so you're remembering something you thought you forgot. Writing from memory is a muscle I've been working for more than 20 years. I've always drawn on my life, even in fiction. My first book, Torch, is absolutely fiction, but it has autobiographical seeds. And the self has always been the place from which I've mined, so much of my material. And so it's something that I'm constantly engaged with. I also, as a kid, had a sort of legendary great memory. But also, I think that one of the things that our culture, this isn't really true in many other cultures, but our culture has a really hard time, I think, understanding the form of memoir. It gets this bad rap for being, the narcissistic form when really that person is trying to use the self to tell a universal story. But also, I think that memoir asks you to make that leap, to say, am I certain that every vivid moment I conjured for you in Wild is absolutely 100% accurate? Do I know that the wind blew the hair across that man's face in that moment? Absolutely not. But I'm telling you a true story, but also trying to make it come alive for you. And so I allow myself to remember the full-bodied scene, knowing that, you know, there are going to be some things that I'm mistaken about. The wind didn't blow at that moment. Or the chair, there's one case I write in Wild, I mentioned that there's an Adirondack chair on a deck. And later, somebody who goes to this place, you know, where I wrote about it, said, well, it's not an Adirondack chair. It's, you know, it's a plastic lawn chair. And I'm like, well, you know, okay. But in writing a memoir, you do have to make that leap and say, this is how I remember it. The form is the art of subjective truth. And so the reader has to say, this writer is creating this vivid portrait of me, the way she sees it in her mind's eye and the way she remembers it.
That leads me to what I've been wondering about. If people have contacted you that have met you, that maybe you may or may not remember. You did contact people that you stayed in touch with, but were there people who said, oh, I saw you, or I was there at that time?
Many, yes. Many of the people who I met on the trail and wrote about in Wild have contacted me and reached out to me and come to my readings and such. And then there's this whole other layer of people who I had brief interactions with, some of whom I don't even remember, people I chatted with along the way. There's a woman who I chatted with at Crater Lake National Park, and she said, I remember you. We had this conversation, and she had written about me, you know, in her journal. I met this woman who was hiking this long way on this trail. And you know how you have those brief interactions with people, and some of them I remember, others I don't. And she came to one of my readings. It was cool, you know, and she said, it's totally you. I remember. And so that's been a really cool part of the experience, is reconnecting, you know, with people in some cases who I had, you know, I hiked with a couple of days, or other people who I just met briefly. The book had a way of bringing everyone back to me.
Did you find yourself like just doing some sense memory exercises, looking at photographs, meditating, just to recall? Because I'm just astounded by every single detail that was so clear and in the moment that's in the book. And that doesn't quite often with memoir. Sometimes there's huge chunks of description and sometimes not.
Yeah, it was a combination of things. My journal, I kept an avid journal. If there was one thing I could change about the book, I would write about keeping that journal more, because that's a question I get a lot. Did you keep a journal? And I do mention it in Wild, but I only mention it in passing. And I did that only because I thought it would bore the reader to say, you know, I had my dinner and then I sat down and wrote in my journal, which is essentially what I did. And oftentimes I would meet people, you know, in the middle of the day, and they would walk away and I would immediately take out my journal and write the scene. And because I was really a fiction writer by then, I would write it, you know, it's in my journal, you know, in dialogue and, you know, description. I wrote it the way, you know, a writer would. And noting details. And that was incredibly helpful when I was writing the book. Last year, when Wild came out, Powell's bookstore asked me to do a blog for the first 5 days of the book's life. And one of the blog posts I made, and it's still online on the Powell's blog, is I wrote about the process of using my journal and of writing the book. And I even photocopied scanned some images online of actual pages from my journal. And you can read those pages and see, you can find the place in the book that I used that information. And sometimes I would write about what the landscape looked like, even if I didn't know, you know, what kind of plants those were, what kind of trees, I would describe them. Now, the other thing I did, that was, I would say, the hardest thing for me as I was writing Wild, because I passed through so many different landscapes. And I remembered what they looked like. But I, you know, once I was writing Wild, I went in and said, well, what kind of wildflowers were there? You know, I remember them as yellow flowers. Well, I go and I find out, well, they were monkey flowers, you know. And so I was able to sneak in some of that information that wasn't necessarily what I was aware of at the time. I also talked to people I met on the trail, people who I was in touch with, and asked them for their memories. You know, I think that any writer of nonfiction, you know, certainly I'm also giving myself over to the subjectivity of the endeavor. This is how I remember it. I'm going to interpret people and events and experiences and even landscapes through my own subjectivity. And yet I still felt a great obligation to tell the truth to the greatest extent possible.
That was Portland's own Cheryl Strayed, author of Wild, Torch, and Tiny Beautiful Things. I'll have the entire extended interview next time on Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts, and Portlanders have a chance to see Cheryl on April 4th at a reading sponsored by REI at Keene's Great Room. That's located at 515 Northwest 13th Avenue in Portland. It's free, but you need to go to CherylStrayed.com to register for the event. And if you want to pick up a signed copy of Wild, right now, it's newly released on softcover. We have 3 signed copies by Cheryl Strayed available to our members who call in now with a renewal. And if you're not a member, now's your chance to support arts coverage on KBOO by calling 1-877-500-5266.
Indeed. We are listening to Stage and Studio. This is Destination Radio on KBOO. This is one of the most beautifully produced programs I have heard anywhere around the world, non-commercial, commercial community. This is something that Dee Mae does as a labor of love, and it's something you should support. She does it for free. She brings all these people in, and you can hear how comfortable they are in the studio. The way to support this is to call 877-500-KBOO. That's 877-500-5266. As Dee Mae just told you, we do have 3 copies autographed of Wild. This is the first edition paperback. It is just out. This is a number one New York Times bestseller. It's best nonfiction book of the year from many, many newspapers and magazines of 2012. These are, again, autographed copies, $60 minimum pledge of support. When you go online, kboo.fm, or better yet, call 877-500-5266. You may have heard Cheryl Strayed on other programs. Certainly she's been on TV. This is an Oprah 2.0. This is the first Oprah 2.0 book club book. But with Dee Mae, you can just hear how she talks about the writing process, the craft. She talks about the bones of the artistic. This is, we have radio zine people here, culture, arts, and literature reporters at KBOO who just make the guests so comfortable that they say, wow, you read the book, you know the craft, you know, and you just hear the best interviews here. You need to reward that by calling toll-free 877-500-KBOO. We really want to hear the phones ringing because we only have 3 copies of this book. This is your chance. You should really run to the phone right now. Again, first edition paperback, 3 copies, each one of them autographed by Cheryl Strayed, and each one of them available for you with a new or renewing membership to KBOO. 877-500-KBOO.
Well, thank you, Koch. This is Dee Mae again. I just wanted to reiterate the number. It's 1-877-500-5266. And I know there are a lot of you listening every single week and a lot of people listening on podcast. If you hear this later, I really would like you to take some time and give us a call or go to our online membership form, and that's at kboo.fm, because this is your chance to support arts coverage. It is the longest running arts coverage as far as a radio program on the arts in Portland. So I can't say enough that we do need to have this kind of response from you. So call now, 1-877-500-5266. I'm Dee Mae Roberts, Stage and Studio. Joining us right now is Lynn Duddy, co-founder and co-director of Portland Story Theater. Hello, Lynn.
Hey, Dee Mae.
Hey,
how's
you.
It going?
Oh, it's going good.
Okay.
Portland Story Theater. Now, you've been producing the single-handedly new work solo festival for 5 years now. And,
yeah.
You know, in a nutshell, I know what the process is, but why don't you tell us, you know, what it is about this that's unique and how you create this new work? It's a workshop process. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. It's really about community, Dee Mae. Single-handedly is the only festival in the world that's dedicated exclusively to long-form personal narrative. So everyone comes up with their personal story, and we co-create that together collaboratively. So we meet frequently, 2-3 times a week. We sit around the table. We have a little wine. We have some tea. We share food. We share stories and come up with the personal story that each person is going to perform as a world premiere as part of the festival.
Well, I'm just going to read the lineup because it's pretty great. And you tell us
yeah.
a little bit about, you know, each evening performance. First up, Friday, April 19th, you have Lawrence Howard, who I have had on the show before, and he tells
uh-huh.
amazing tales. And new voice, is it Kriya Kaping?
It's Kriya Kaping, and she's just fantastic. She's come through our Urban Tellers workshop program, and it's just an amazing talent. We're really happy to have her in the long form program.
And is there a theme for what they're talking about, or what their stories are about?
Show is a legacy of limericks, stuff my father taught me, and Creekeeping program is a taste for the abyss. It's really a story about taking risks in life.
Well, now you're performing on Saturday, April 20th, and that's with Brad Fortier?
Correct.
All right. Well, what stories are you guys telling?
Well, mine is called Twice Born, and it's really my story of adoption. I'm adopted, and I'm going to tell that story. And Brad Fortier is telling a story called Improv Junkie. He's just really one of the improv kings here in Portland, and he is talking about how he came to improv and really found his voice there.
And these are all personal stories, and
they're
yours
all
on adoption,
stories.
I would think, is very, very personal to you.
Yes, and it's really, I think, a story that a lot of people could be inspired to share their story and really come to terms with the whole adoption process.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think people are doing that more now, but, you know, you come from a time when people probably didn't talk about it very much.
Right. It was all closed and really shameful, right?
Yeah. Well, good for you. Good for you for telling your story. And then the next week on Friday, April 26th, you have Eric Stern and new voice Annie Rosen. And what's their theme?
Yes. Eric Stern is telling To Catch a Thief, really about a youthful episode of stealing and kind of a way of life. It's very interesting. He's the founder of Vagabond Opera, super talented guy. He was in Single-Handedly last year. And Annie Rosen is telling a story called Cosmic Friend, really how she became Fiddler Girl in Seattle. She's a graduate of the narrative arts, and she also went to Commedia dell'Arte. So she's multi-talented. We're really happy to have her.
And finally, on Saturday, April 27th, we have Penny Walter, who and Artist in Residence is at Annie Laganga. You just mentioned her, right?
No, it's a different Annie.
Oh!
We actually have two Annies on the
two
show.
Two Annies.
Isn't that crazy?
That can be a little confusing during rehearsals, right?
Yes. Well, Penny offered to change her name to Annie, too, just to keep it consistent. But Penny Walter is on the board of Portland Story Theater, an amazing talent. She's a professional puppeteer and storyteller. And she's going to tell about her trip with Dream On, which is a group that sponsors people internationally to tell stories. She went to Columbia. And the artist in residence is nationally acclaimed storyteller Annie Laganga. She's just really fantastic. We're so lucky to have her. She went through our application process and was chosen among several people who applied. And she's going to tell the story, the Major Arcana, which really is about the tarot and the archetypes of tarot, mental health, and family relationships. So it's going to be pretty fascinating. She's really funny and fun, too. So we're excited. She's coming just in a couple of days to become our artist in residence at the Portland Story Theater House.
Well, what I love about what you do is that you have a good mix of people who do this professionally, as well as people who are learning the craft and I don't want to say ordinary people, but in some respects, too. It's like I want to tell my own story. And I think there's a great need for a lot of people who are listening right now in our audience to be able to tell their story in a safe environment in a way that's accepted.
Yes, it's really important. I think it's one of the skills that we're going to need as the world moves forward to really be open and share our personal narrative and really be able to connect with each other in a human, heart-to-heart, face-to-face, eye-to-eye kind of way.
Well, it sounds like a great festival, Intimate Storytelling. And
yes, we're all very excited, and we're really excited that we got to be on your program.
Well, yeah, I mean, fabulous. And this is your fifth year with this program. And
yes.
Did you ever think that it would keep going like this?
Oh, no, it just was born out of a need for us to tell our personal stories, and it just grew from there. So actually, it started with Lawrence Howard when he was telling his first version of the Shackleton story.
Right, and that's what we had talked about when he was here.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
that's so
right.
Great that it's evolved
Isn't
to this
it?
Level.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. So we're really looking forward to a nice crowd. So We hope people will come and support us and have the experience of this long-form personal narrative that's unique to Portland.
Well, Portland Story Theater proudly presents the 5th Annual New Work Solo Festival single-handedly at the Hip Bone Studio. Performances are at 8 p.m. Fridays and Saturdays, and the dates again are April 19th, 20th, 26th, and 27th. And tickets are available at portlandstorytheater.com, where you can get single tickets as well as a festival pass for the whole evening. Lynn Duddy of Portland Story Theater, it's so great to talk with you.
Major
congratulations on your 5 years. Are you going to have a little party or anything?
Sure, we're going to celebrate. We'll invite you.
You're theater people, so of course you're going to celebrate, right?
Right, exactly.
Well, have a great opening, and
I wish you
all the best, and, major shout out to your company, and let's hope for another 5 years, eh?
Yes, excellent. Thank you, D-May.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And we have a pair of passes and a pair of single tickets to single-handedly New Works Festival to offer to the first callers here at KABU at 877-500-5266. And we also have tickets, to people who want to renew their membership or become a KABU member to Portland Center Stage for a couple of shows this season, as well as Milagro Theater for any show this entire year. Justin and Conscious standing by. We have phone people standing by. We need to keep them busy. Call now, 1-877-500-5266.
Yes, get those standing by people in their seats talking on the phone. And the number again is toll-free, 877-500-KBOO. D-May has a goal of $350 for her show. That's a very small goal.
It's a very small amount.
And you can say thank you to all her beautifully, beautifully produced programs going out in the field, talking to performers, to playwrights, to artists. And you can get a thank you gift, too, for a very, very low amount of money. Single-handedly, this is one of these festivals where you will be talking 5 years from now. These performers and playwrights will be the talk of the town. They might be touring internationally, and you will have seen them early on at single-handedly the New Works Solo Festival.
Well, what are some of the levels for some of these tickets and Cheryl Strayed's book?
Well, I'll tell you about Cheryl first, because we only have one copy of that book, that first edition signed paperback that is... Yeah, again, signed by Cheryl. And
we only have one left?
We only have one.
Actually, it looks to me that there are two, but the point remains the quantities are limited. Carry on, Conch.
I was going to say, I'm just amazed by this book because when I was younger, I hiked 25 miles of the Pacific Crest Trail through the High Sierras.
Cheryl Strayed
did over 1,000 miles, and she wrote this stunning book about her physical and emotional and psychic adventures. This is an incredible book to get for just a $60 minimum pledge, along with all of the other benefits of being a KABU member. So you really need to hurry and get these last couple of copies of Wild, this number one New York Times bestseller that you heard D-May talking with.
I'm not a hiker. And so I was just marveled at what she went through on this journey, but mostly about her own personal story.
Well, that is a journey in itself. Yeah. And the number to call to get your copy of that or to get tickets to the I'm going to give that number really quick because somebody's calling. It's 877-500-KBOO. That's 877-500-5266. Portland Story Theater. Let's talk about those tickets, Justin. It's at the Intimate Hip Bone Studio, which is not far from the KABU Studios on a beautiful East Burnside. This is focus on local talent, but there's artists in residence. It's an amazing thing to attend. Tell folks how they can get those tickets.
Well, we're asking you to get involved, and because we're givers, we bring people, our ambassadors like D-May, in to entertain you on the radio. And then to follow that up, we... in exchange for your support, we send you for a night on the town. If you could do $100 today, we have two pairs of tickets to Portland Center Stage. That's any play on their schedule between now and May 5th. That's a $100 donation on your credit card when you call 877-500-5266. There's only two pairs there. I've got, what do I have? I have three pairs of tickets to the Miracle Theater,
Teatro
any play.
Milagro.
That's right, any any performance this season or next season, and that's for a modest donation of $70 on your credit card today. You can get those by calling 877-500-5266. Just $230 to go for D-May's show. There are thousands of you listening. This is Destination Radio, as Conch has said. Perhaps two of you could start a $120 membership. We could give you we could give you a pair of tickets to the Miracle Theater and a copy of Cheryl Strayed's book, Wild. But really, the real gift is making sure the lights are on for our ambassadors like D-May, professional radio at amateur costs. Call us right now, 877-500-5266.
I have to say, it's very heartening to have people call and to hear that phone ring, because it is predominantly a labor of love. 1-877-500-5266. There's so many great reasons, as Justin just said, but also because you want to help KABU provide this kind of programming all the time. And that's a rare thing to do in this time and age.
That's absolutely right, D-May. And remember, we're not asking you to take care of our needs, dear listener. We're asking you to take care of yours. 877-500-KABOO.
I'd especially like to hear from artists, writers, arts groups have been featured in the last 15 years on stage and studio. So I'm urging you to call 1-877-500-5266. One of the perks of listening to Stage and Studio is a chance to win tickets sometimes to great shows throughout the year. One lucky winner took time to tell us why she listens to the show.
I'm Firefly in Portland, Oregon, and I listen to Stage and Studio because it inspires me to look outside of myself. It charges my imagination and makes me want to dive into the creativity of other outstanding people who add joy to my life. I do not live in a cultural circle or socioeconomic class that reinforces the performing arts. I want to keep plugged into that world as often as I can. Stage and Studio is a reminder to me that the artistic world is out there and accessible to me locally.
And we have three pairs of tickets to Milagro's show and to Portland Center Stage and to Portland Story Theater, as well as signed copies of Cheryl Strayed's runaway hit book, Wild. And won't you take time to support arts coverage on KABU? Isn't this program worth your support to keep it going the rest of the year? So call now at 1-877-500-5266. That's it for Stage and Studio. I'm D-May Roberts. And don't forget to join the Facebook.com/Stage and Studio Facebook page, or go to kabu.fm/Stage and Studio to hear this show again. Till next time, I'm D-May Roberts.
Tune in Saturday, April 6th for a grand finale to the Spring Membership Drive featuring live music, great programming, and charming hosts, all from the KABU studios. From 9 a.m. to noon, Music from the True Vine will feature live music, including legendary country singer Skip Gorman, the Rocky Butte Wranglers, the Hackison family, and bluegrass chart toppers the Steep Canyon Rangers. KABU will reschedule the Hollywood Bowl event, but the same great performances will happen at the KABU studio Saturday, April 6th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. A terrific grand finale to the Spring Membership Drive. Saturday, April 6th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tune in, enjoy, become a member. Thanks for listening.
Good morning. Thanks so much for listening to Art Focus. My name is Ava Lake, and gee, I've been gone a long time. I've been gone for a month. I went to Volta in New York, and it was so much fun, but I'm glad to be back, especially as I have a really interesting guest with me today. I have with me today Philip Ioska, who is well-known in Portland for a lot of different things, but all related to art and design. But today, we're going to focus on an exhibition that he has up right now at 1430 Contemporary. And I believe you can just go to 1430contemporary.com.
Yeah.
That's it. And see images that we're going to be talking about. Philip, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
The show is called Moment Monument.
Yes.
Yes. Well, can we just talk a little bit about the title first, and then you're going to, like, walk us through the exhibition?
Of course. What would you like to know about the title?
Well, what does it mean? Why use these words?
I think I struggled a lot with titling the show. In the middle of making this work, I went back to Rome, where I had spent my senior year abroad in college doing an honors program. And it occurred to me that that was the city where I first had a studio practice. And I was studying textile design, but unable to make textile work in Rome. So I had this studio. I could make whatever I wanted. And I was looking at all of these religious works and monuments that are littering the city. So going back in February was sort of, I had this epiphany that, you know, I'd never realized the extent to which that city influenced my work, my studio practice. And it's easier for me to think of making sort of monuments that are memories of moments than artworks or sculpture. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's an insecurity, I don't know.
Right, so you're saying that the works that are at 1430, they are monuments, and actually maybe we can even look at the shows in the past and it's a connection to that as well?
There's definitely a connection to that as well. The piece that I'm sort of proudest of from a previous exhibition might be a piece entitled Monument, my first monument that I presented at Carhole Gallery. Sam Corman curated a group show. And I presented an idea for an artwork, and then, you know, we were hanging out, and I just said, you know, scratch that idea. What I want to do is present a piece. The piece is entitled Monument, and there will be nothing. And that was he accepted my monument,
right?
And exhibited it as part of this group exhibition at Carhole Gallery.
Okay, now so just talk to us. What did that look like? So you went into the space. There were other people's works there, and then what was there? Just a label on the wall, or how did it pan out?
There was nothing. He made the piece in a sense because he wrote a redacted essay about it that and found an image and you know found a way to represent the piece.
Mm-hmm. So now, any other further explanation for the obsession with monument? Is it because it's hard to see things big now because there's so much information? Or, I mean, I like this idea, but I just want to know a little bit more about it.
Maybe the other thing is I spent the past 3 years, my studio practice has been remodeling this building that I live in with my partner. And I think that sort of construction vernacular heavily influenced this idea of building, of monuments, of edifice, of, you know...
Mural.
Mm-hmm, all of these things. So that really became this really physical labor of doing demolition work, of painting walls, painting ceilings, carrying garbage, and just this romance with built materials, with wood, and with all of these, you know, sort of materials that are intrinsic to art making, but they were being used in a different way.
Right.
In a very pragmatic way.
All right. And, you know, and this also does touch upon how a lot of people maybe first came across you here in Portland, which was Ace Hotel, right?
That's right.